Today's shiur is going to be one aspect in Hilchos Shabbos, which is maybe perhaps not as well known as it should be, and could have common ramifications and applications. So, and that is about cleaning clothing or other types of material on Shabbos. And as you'll see, I don't necessarily mean that you're going to put it in a laundry machine or something like that, but something much more simplistic, like going over to the faucet and some ketchup got on the sleeve or something like that, and you go over to the faucet and turning on the water and cleaning it off, things of that nature, which are very commonly done and are very questionable, as we'll discuss momentarily. The first part on page 2, Melachos Malabim de Mishkan, as we know, all the Melachos on Shabbos have their source in the Mishkan and the construction of the tabernacle. And that's how we learn a lot of Hilchos Shabbos, based on what was done there and during the week, and hence on Shabbos the building of the tabernacle was forbidden, and those things that were required in the construction of the Mishkan will hence be prohibited to do on Shabbos. So one of the things the Rambam writes, Hamalabein es hatsemer o es hapishtan es hashoni. In other words, they would make material for the tabernacle and they would shear the wool off the animals, and the first thing they would do is they would clean the wool. The material had all types of impurities and debris on it and would need to be rinsed off, and that was what was done in the Mishkan to then make different types of material things that were needed, the curtains and things that were needed in the Mishkan, from the wool that was sheared off the animal. So hamalabin asatzemer, wool or flax or shani v'chol chayotzi behem imasha darko l'slabin chayef. Okay, that is the general source of this melacha in the Mishkan. So the first application, number 2, where the Rambam writes, "Hamechabes begodim hareyu toldos melabin v'chayev, v'asochet es habeged ad sheyotzi hamayim shebo harezim mechabes v'chayev." In other words, if one would take, say for example, a washcloth or a sponge, and he would wring it out, so we know that there is a prohibition of schita on Shabbos, which we'll talk about a little bit in the end of the shiur. And there are two aspects to schita, squeezing. One is, say for example, taking a grape or something like that, a fruit, and squeezing it for the juice. And that is one type of schita, which is dosh, is taking out the liquid component from the fruit, and that would be prohibited on Shabbos. Right, a lemon as well would be prohibited to squeeze the lemon on Shabbos, because you're taking out the liquid component from the fruit. That's one type of squeezing. But there's another type of squeezing, and that is if you have a cloth or a sponge or something of that nature, and you wring it out, and you squeeze it out, so then the liquid comes out of the cloth, and that is considered laundering the cloth. In other words, there we're not interested so much, we're not using the water. You see, when you do the lemon, so you want to have the water in the tea, you want to drink the water, the juice, etc. But here, it's not a question of, in other words, you wring out, you say you have a wet washcloth and you wring it out in the sink, so all the water is going down the drain, so it's not that you want the water, but as a result, the cloth is becoming laundered as a result, and that is a mulacha of melabe, of whitening, of laundering on Shabbos by the fact that you're squeezing out something from a cloth. There's a whole discussion in the poskim about the modern day baby wipes, whether that is a problem or not. Some are machmir. I follow the shita of Rav Yitzchak Habari, Rav David Feinstein, that says that it's permissible as long as you don't squeeze too hard, and that's very helpful for young infants that to be able to use baby wipes. Okay, so that is one type of thing, taking something wet and wringing it out, that is sochet. And that is, so as I told you, there are two types of sochet. One type of sochet is you want to use liquid from the fruit, that's one type. And the other type of sochet is being sochet a garment. And even though, I don't know if necessarily in your mind you view it as laundering, you just want it just sopping wet, so that's why you're doing it. You're not thinking in such a complicated way, but nonetheless, the halacha states that that's considered laundering. And as sochet habeged at shofim mayim, harei ze mechabes v'chayev. On what?
On the spot.
Okay, well, that's the next thing. We're getting to that. We're going to get to that in number three. Okay, excellent question. Okay. Number three is Be'inyan Shriyoso Zohi Kibuso, which is a discussion of putting water on a garment. So the Gemara says like this, Haisa an Aleph, three Aleph, Talmud Bavli, Haisa Allah Lashleshes, Mekancha Besmartet. In other words, if you have a garment and there's some dirt on the garment, so you can take a cloth, a dry cloth, and wipe it off, the stuff that's on top. But you cannot put any water on it. So if your sleeve would get wet, would get dirty, some ketchup got on your sleeve or something like that. For men, it's like the tie is usually the big hazard, something. That's why when I go away for Shabbos to people's houses and I don't always have so many things to change into, I try not to have ketchup, because ketchup and Shabbos don't always. If you're home, you have a whole bunch of ties and shirts and things like that you can change, but you're away, so ketchup and Shabbos don't always work out in the best way. So. So if something of that nature would, so if it's a glob of ketchup, you just take the surface out with a dry napkin, that would be okay. But if you're taking, a baby wipe, even though we said before, baby wipes, according to some, are okay if you don't press too hard, but if you do it on a material, that would, either you go to the force, you take a baby wipe and you're wiping to get to the, at least you think you're going to get it out, but you probably aren't, but at least you're going to put it on the on the baguette, on the garment, that would be forbidden to do on Shabbos. Or if you would go to the sink and you would just let the put it under the faucet, that would be a prohibition on Shabbos. Even though, again, you know, when we think of laundering, you think of, you know, putting it in a laundering machine and a whole thing like that, a fancy thing. But halacha, a very simple thing of just going to the faucet and putting your tie under the faucet, or taking a wet wipe and wiping it down, would be prohibited. So haisha alav lachshleshes mekancha b'smartut. So what you have to do is you have to take a smartut, a cloth, a dry, and the poskim assume a dry cloth, and then that would be okay as long as you're not just doing the stuff on top. Haisha shal or, but if the thing that got soiled is made out of leather or something like that that doesn't absorb, a material that doesn't absorb, like leather or something like that, you have a leather jacket or a leather raincoat or, you know, that material, that so then nosnim alei mayim, so then you could even put water on because it's not absorbing. But all the clothing that we wear, usually those things absorb. So anything that absorbs, you can't put water on anything that absorbs on Shabbos, and that would be a prohibition of malabe, of laundering on Shabbos. Now, if you look in the bottom, Gimel here, 3 Gimel, Tosos. So there is a discussion about getting things wet on Shabbos, but one of the ideas that the Rishonim speak about is derech lichluch. Say, for example, a very simple case. You wash your hands from the tilas yadayim, right? And then you go to the towel and you dry it with a towel. So is that permissible to do on Shabbos? I assume we do that all the time, and it's okay. Right? There's one opinion that's machmer in that, and says you have to use dafka disposable towels, disposable pieces of paper. But most opinions hold not that way, that you could have. So why isn't that malabim? So the answer is, the poskim say the answer is, because that's called derech lichluch. That's not to clean. That you're taking the so-called dirt from your hands and you're washing it, and now there's still maybe something on your hand and you're drying it. So that drying is done as derech lichluch, as something that's causing the towel to become dirty. It's not a cleansing action. It's making something dirty. So that would not be under the category of libun. So therefore, one would be allowed on Shabbos to wash netilas yadayim, and then after the netilas yadayim, to go ahead and dry your hands with a towel, even though the same thing is happening. The water is going on a material that's absorbed, but nonetheless, it's not the derech of malavin, it's derech lichluch, and therefore it is permissible. So if you look in Dalet in the bottom, two Dalet, it says Mutar litein mayim al gabe minol l'sachsuchol. So if, say, there's something on your shoe, if it's a leather shoe, not a material shoe, and it's made out of leather, so then you could even put water on it, because again, it's not something that absorbs. If it's something that absorbs, then that's a question. If it's something that's not absorbing material, So then that thing you could put the water on. But even something that is non-absorbent, you could only put it on the liquid, but you can't rub. You can't really, you know, scrub one side to the other, even with something that's non-absorbent. Yes. Yeah, so that would that perhaps is absorbent. So that's the. Yeah, in other words, if you would like, yeah, take this talus here, make believe this was something out of the leather, and you would rub side to side like that, so that would be prohibited even in something that was. Without misachset, mishachshef, tzidozeb, tzidozeb. You know, there was a discussion in the poskim about contact lenses on Shabbos. So we generally permit putting it in the solution on Shabbos. But there was a discussion, Yashiv had a discussion about this, whether it was considered whether things really get absorbed in the soft lenses. But the general rule is that whenever there's something that's absorbed, so then we don't put it in liquid on Shabbos. Okay, number three, page three. Take a look on number four. There's a word missing, yeah. Okay, so we're gonna talk about that in number four right now. Okay. B'inyan menayer taliso b'shabbos. Now, taliso, the talis, is not specifically about a talis. It means any garment. And Aleph, that they left out, whoever typed it left out the word hamana'er taliso b'shabbos. Chayv, words, it's in the middle of a sentence. It should say hamana'er taliso b'shabbos. Chayv chatas. So what does that mean? So Rashi on Beis says hamana'er taliso min ha'ofer. Very simple case. This happens in, it can happen anywhere. You hang up, say, people come to shul, they hang up a jacket, they hang up a coat on the thing, and then you know how it is. Sometimes it ends up on the ground, right? Someone's hat, someone's coat, and then it's all dusty. So to go ahead and to like go like this to dust it off, even though it's totally dry, there's no liquid there. That is forbidden to do on Shabbos. And according to Rashi Shita, that's a Torah prohibition of Chil Shabbos if one would go ahead and take a garment that was dusty and shake it or go like that to get the, So here is even something that's not done with a liquid, but it's done to clean, and it's dusty. So one is not allowed to do that on Shabbos. What? Right. In other words, you could. In other words, if you have something that's above the surface, so you can take a napkin and take the stuff off the stuffing that's above the surface. But say something is it's a dust, so it's in the garment. It's in, so to go and to shake it, in other words, it's enough that you need to, certain things you can just take off. Certain things you have to shake it off, right? So if you have to shake it off, you can just take it off. You have to shake it off. So if you have to shake it off, that shows that it's embedded enough that if you would go ahead and clean that, even without liquid, according to the opinion of Rashi, that would be a prohibition. Right, something that you're shaking to get off the because manayah means to shake, manayah taliso v'shabbos, so therefore, you know, sometimes it can become very you know, there could be leniencies when it's in the case where somebody's going to be embarrassed and they have nothing to. So they can maybe go to a Gentile, a non-Jew, and have them do it for them. If you're in a situation where, you know, if you're home, you have another thing to change into. But if it's going to be a real embarrassment, then there is leniencies, because normally to get a non-Jew to do a malacha for you on Shabbos is prohibited, unless it's a certain tzorech, certain needs. Say, for example, this past Shabbos, my 6-year-old, or maybe he did it, I don't know, turned off the light in the baby's room, and the baby has to go turned on the light rather, and he has to take a nap. So we got a non-Jew to shut the light on Shabbos, because shutting a light on Shabbos is only a rabbinic prohibition. It's not a Torah prohibition. It's only a rabbinic prohibition. And to get a goy to do a rabbinic prohibition is in itself a rabbinic prohibition. And for him to do something that's rabbinic could be permissible. So since shutting a light on Shabbos is only a rabbinic prohibition, in this case of need, you can get a Gentile to shut off the light for you on Shabbos. To turn on the light is much more problematic, because that could be a Torah prohibition, and then only if there's a great need could there be a possible leniency. So over here, this could be a Torah prohibition to clean the garment, but we have another concept in halacha, that kavod habrios, that if it's a case of embarrassment of a person, then we permit rabbinic prohibitions are lifted in the case of embarrassment. So the Shaul HaMeshiv, who was one of the great poskim, he dealt with a question of a man on the night of Kol Nidre, and his kittel got soiled, and there's no way that he was able. So maybe today you have a lot of kittels, maybe some you can get an extra kittel, but there was no extra kittel, and it wasn't, you know, it would be not so nice for him to be in shul on Yom Kippur without his kittel, and it was soiled, so he gave a leniency, a heter, to go and clean for a goy, to go ahead and clean his kittel so he could use it the next day on Yom Kippur. So in cases of embarrassment, and again, if there's no way out and there's a great embarrassment, so somebody has something on their clothing, and so to get a goy to do it, if there's no other way out, that could be a way out in certain situations of helping people who are away for Shabbos and they don't have something to change, whatever. The Amir Lakum, again, even though Amir Lakum normally we only permit many cases only when it's a rabbinic thing that we tell the goy to do, and here it's a Torah prohibition of cleaning the clothing on Shabbos, but since it's Mokom Kovod Habrios, then the Shaul HaMeshiv, one of the great rabbinic authorities, permits telling a goy to clean something on Shabbos when it's only a rabbinic, because having a goy do something is only a rabbinic thing, so then if you need be, you can get the goy to do it for you. Right, so the stuff that's, you know, above the, you know, it's not really embedded, you can take off. But things that are in the thing, then you shouldn't shake on Shabbos. Yeah, you can, well, you can gather it, yeah. But to shake, that could, you know, because that's this halacha of just like if something would fall on the ground on Shabbos and it would get dusty, you wouldn't be able to shake it off. Things that are above the surface, you can take off. Yeah, well, you can just collect them off, whatever, you know, to get... You take it, yeah, you can take those things that are above the thing, that are not really embedded, so those things you can take. Yeah, so the best thing is, you know, when you have a lot of crumbs, is to have a plastic above your, you know, once there's a plastic there, then everything goes, because then it's not absorbed. And then, so if you're in a situation where you think that... Yeah, so if it's a situation where you think there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be embedded into the thing... Well, the shaking, we're afraid that if you shake, you're probably going to get something that was embedded. Okay, we have to see the reality of that. Okay. Yeah, plastic is okay, because plastic, nothing is embedded in plastic. So you can never go wrong having something with plastic on top. Yeah. I can't hear you. She does what? She puts lights on the house before she leaves. Tell her not to do that. I mean, why is she doing that? On her own. What's she doing it for you? So you should tell her in the future that you keep the lights you want on for Shabbos, you keep on before Shabbos. Well, you have a Shabbos clock for this. She shouldn't be turning on lights on Shabbos. If there was a situation where, you know, there was a lot of people there and it's dark and it's going to be, then, you know, for the rabbin, maybe this could be some leniencies. But in a regular situation, in a regular household, we shouldn't have, you know, if she needed to turn off a light, we said if there's a need, the light was on, somebody needs to take a nap. So preferably this should have been arranged before Shabbos. But if for some reason it didn't get arranged before Shabbos, then you could have her shut it off. But turn on, she shouldn't be doing that. So you should tell her not to. You should actively tell her that, yeah. If it's a dry cloth, you see, when it comes to dust, it's very hard to quantify. So if you're gonna take it, in other words, if it's big pieces, that, you know, is not. But once you're dealing with dust, so the dust gets in the thing, and then you shouldn't, you know, be dealing with that, because. Yeah, so if it's non-absorbent, then you could then you don't have a problem, unless you you know, go like that. Yeah. What? Yeah. So. Yeah, yeah. In other words, if it's a real case of embarrassment, then the guy could put water. In other words, the case with the kittel that I told you before was that the way I understood the case was it really needed to go into a machine or something very significant. It was the kittel was soiled. It was not something that anyone could ever wear, you know, publicly or privately, and it was a great embarrassment. And for him to be in shul the whole day without a kittel, I guess, was also something of an embarrassment. So then the Sholem Meshiv permitted, in a case of embarrassment, to get a goy to do it for you. Okay. Okay. There's another halacha, and hey, and number page 3, os hey, be'in dinei nikui v'kipul begadim on Shabbos. So this halacha has to do with folding clothing on Shabbos. Folding clothing on Shabbos. So there is a halacha of not folding clothing on Shabbos, because it improves the garment. But there are poskim that say that halacha only applies to the cases that were in Mizman, in the time of the Talmud, where they would take the clothing and they would put it under a press on Shabbos to get rid of any wrinkles or things like that. But the reality of today is that that's not we fold clothing, and therefore there are many poskim that permit folding clothing on Shabbos. You'll see in shul there are two types of people. There are people that after shul will not fold their talus, they'll just roll it up, and there are people that will fold their talus. And these two minhagim have to do with whether they're machmir to say you can't fold the clothes on Shabbos. So I follow the shita like Rav Abadi holds that you can fold talesim on Shabbos. There are two issues with folding on Shabbos. One issue is the actual taking out wrinkles, which is a type of fixing the garment. And then there's another issue, which is called hachana, preparing. Because on Shabbos, we're not allowed to prepare for the weekday. So if you'll see here on this is discussed here on page 7, on page 5. Things are a little out of order here. On bays, 7 bays, it says also mekapel atalis. So some say you can't fold the talis on Shabbos for two reasons. One is that it improves takes away the wrinkles, and one way you're preparing for the weekday. So that's why some people you'll see won't fold their talis; they'll just put it up in a ball. So I follow the opinion that neither of these things are a problem. Number one, the folding that they were talking about, the Kolbo and the Ran says, is not the folding we have today. That was folding with a press, where you put it under pieces of wood, and it was taking out wrinkles, so that wouldn't be applicable today. And the other discussion of preparing, so that's not, what's the question is, what's called, what is the, parenthetically, I think it's important to know, what is the Isser of Hachana? You can't prepare on Shabbos for the weekday, even though you're not doing a malacha. So what's the idea? So the tshuva of the Marshag was a Talmud of Shimon Greenfield, the Talmud of Maram Shik, who was a Talmud of the Chasam Sofer, says there's one rule. This is the rule. Hear this rule. If you ever do anything on Shabbos because you want to save time for after Shabbos, that's forbidden. In other words, for example, soon we're going to turn the clock, we're going to have these long Shabbosim. So, and Shabbos is going to end late, Shabbos is going to end 9, and you have these long afternoons. So someone would say, I could clean the dishes, have a whole afternoon this way, I'd have to first start cleaning dishes at 9, 10 o'clock at night, or whatever, So that's usher. In other words, if you want to save time on Motzai Shabbos or Sunday, whatever, and you want to save time, and therefore you're doing it on Shabbos to save time, that is a rabbinic prohibition of Hachana. And that is not allowed. So therefore, but if you're not doing it to save time, like Rav Yitzchak Abadi said to me, you're folding your talus not to save time. You're folding your talus, as Rav Abadi said to me, because whenever you use something, you put it back. There's no issue of putting, you like Rav Abadi said, you took out a box of matzahs from the cabinet, and now you finish eating, you want to put it back. That's not hachana. As Rav Abadi said, that's usage. That's the normal way. You learn a sefer. There's no halacha that all the svarim you used over Shabbos have to stay on the table. No. You learn something, you can put it back on the shelf, because that's the norm of usage, of putting it back. But if you're going to go ahead and what? You're going to do it not because you're just putting it back. In other words, after a whole Shabbos meal, there are a lot of things on the, it's not you're putting it back, you're preparing for the weekday, so you should have a clean table for Sunday, for Monday, for whatever. So that you have to wait till after Shabbos. Unless the Magen Avraham points out, if Rav Yosef Rabinowitz pointed out, if the room is going to look so disheveled that you just feel uncomfortable, so then, but you have to be honest with yourself if that's why you're doing it, because you just things are so disheveled. So then, in a way that you're not violating any malacha, then you want all the plates on the table, so you don't want them to be on the table. You want to, in the Shabbos afternoon, you want to use the table or whatever, and it's just, so those things are, so again, as the Marshag said, if your intent is to save time, then you can't do it on Shabbos. If your intent is not to save time, something you need for today, then it would be permissible, again, provided that there's no malacha involved. Because the Isser Hachana is something that has no malacha involved. It's not a prohibited act. But the fact that you're doing it as preparation for the weekday, that itself is a desecration of Shabbos on a rabbinic level. And we said the way to the barometer of knowing what's considered a preparation or not is what the Marshag says, as you're trying to save time. It's interesting what the example he gives, the Marshag. In the old days, when somebody wanted to get milk from the Goyim, so they would go to a Goy to get milk, and you know, there's a halacha that a Jew has to watch the milking. Rav Moshe Feinstein gave a leniency in America that since we have government laws that they're not going to put any pig milk in the thing, so that itself is good enough because no one's going to do it. But in the old days, and some people are still machmir on Chol of Yisrael, but in the old days, when there weren't these government laws, and private Gentiles had farms and had they milked their cattle and then sold the milk to a Jew, so then someone had to go there to watch the milking that came from the cow and didn't come from the pig. So say the Goyim were only milking on Saturday afternoon, but they weren't milking later. So you're going there to watch the milking, so you'll get it after Shabbos, not to save time, but there's no opportunity after Shabbos. So it's not to save time. So even though you're going there, so you'll be able to get milk after Shabbos, so the Marshag says that's not considered Hachana, because there's no option. There's no option. You're not doing it to save time. If the whole process took 2 hours and you'd rather spend the 2 hours on the Shabbos afternoon instead of doing Motzei Shabbos, that would be prohibited. But if there's no option on Motzei Shabbos because they don't milk then, and then you had to go then, so that's his idea that that's not considered a preparation and that would be permitted. So I follow the opinion like Rav Abadi holds that you can fold a talus on Shabbos, you can even put it back. Rav Shachter quoted from Rav Soloveitchik, his opinion was that the folding, you know, was not a problem, but he was concerned with the preparation, so he was more machmer in that. So the only time Rav Soloveitchik would fold his talus would be when? Leil Kol Nidre. Why? Because Leil Kol Nidre, you can eat it for the next day. It's the same day. But on Shabbos day, you're not going to use it till next Shabbos. So then it's a preparation for the next day. But that was his opinion. But I follow the opinion, another opinion like Rav Abadi holds, that you can fold the talus on Shabbos and you can put it back and you don't have to roll it up in a ball and do it like that, because it's not a problem, both from the perspective of the folding is not a problem, as Rav Abadi pointed out, and from the perspective of preparation, it's not a problem either. Yeah, so even on the fold, some people fold it not on the fold to avoid this problem, but even regular folding, the folding we have today is not the folding that they had in the times of Chazal. Where you'll see over here on page 5, number 7, Gimel, it says, Beis Yosef, because of Swolish Akshav, Okay. Another idea. Look now back on page 4. I can't hear you. So you're saying what? Respect to the talit. Yeah, I agree. So, but if you hold that you're not allowed to do it, so then all the respect, like Rav Soloveitchik was very machpid on Rosh Chodesh. You know, people from Musaf, so we don't put on tefillin. Right, we daven Shachris with tefillin on, the men, and for Musaf, we don't. So some people are rushed to daven Musaf, they leave the tefillin out, and then they daven Musaf, and then they folded. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that it was a bizayon for the tefillin, that you should fold the tefillin, you know, wrap the tefillin, and then daven Musaf. But by the talus, he was thought that there's a problem because of Hachana, but others disagree. Okay. On page 4, there are three more points I'd like to cover with you this morning. On page 4, number 6. The inyan nesinas begodim retuvim samuch la'esh. In other words, you can't put wet clothing near the fire or near a heat source on Shabbos, because taking wet clothing on, say it was raining and you have a radiator or something like that that's going to, so you should, and it's going to get very hot, and even yatzo let us both, so you shouldn't put the wet clothing near the heat source on Shabbos, because that's considered, look on the bottom, 6 bays, somuch le'ech mishum malabin or mishum mevachel. There's a question of malabin, that's considered laundering. This is another application of laundering, taking wet clothing and putting it near the fire. We don't have fires today, like, you know, a fireplace like they had so much. But you have a heat source, and you're putting it near, as Rabbi Tuchman pointed out, near the heat source on Shabbos, that's considered a problem. Okay, so we'll get to that in 1 second. That's the next thing we'll get to. So that's number 5. Be'in yishtichas begodim retuvim b'shabbos. So there's a fascinating halacha, and it's a question how to apply this halacha b'zman hazeh. And that is, the technical halacha in the Gemara is that if your clothing is wet, say it was raining on Shabbos, and now you have a wet coat or something like that, you're not supposed to spread it out on on Shabbos. You're not supposed to spread it out on a line. You're not supposed to spread it out on the couch. Why? So when I tell you this, you're going to think it's strange, but let me say what it says, and then we can discuss the applications. And that is, there's a concept of marasayim, that somebody is going to see that you're doing something at Shabbos, they think that you did an avera. So somebody's going to see you having wet clothing, putting out to dry, they're going to think that you washed the clothing on Shabbos. That's the marasayim. And then we have another halacha, that anything that Chazal forbade because of marasayim, even if you're doing it privately, it's also asr. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says in Gimel, 5 Gimel, lo yishtachem lunagvam. In other words, you can't put them, you can't, so you ask whether, right, so hanging it up is less of a problem, because, you know, because, in other words, if you spread it out, that's the way when people are drying things, you know, from the wash, they spread it out, so not to spread it out, the Chazal say is forbidden. There's some poskim that say that, that certain clothing that we have today, like certain rain clothes, that we don't really launder like that, maybe the application wouldn't apply because no one's going to think that you did. But still, the simple pshat in the halacha is not to put clothing on. You were totally innocent. You were totally innocent. You just walked home in the rain, in the snow, whatever. But to spread it out, there are poskim that say that that's forbidden because of the marasayin, that somebody's going to come to think that you laundered it on Shabbos. Okay, one last thing. Yeah, one is the malaben and one is mevashel. Mevashel means cooking, when you take mevashel. That's on the bottom of page four, number six, bays, mishum malaben or mishum mevashel. You see over there. Okay. Now, so let's just briefly review what we said. Okay. What? Right, so if it's so if it's done in a way that you would normally hang up, I mean, obviously, if you would put it in the where you hang up things that where you keep your coats normally. So I don't know, is that where you normally would hang up things to dry? Okay. So So anytime it's something that you would normally, when you would wash something, you would hang up to dry that way, you shouldn't do that way on Shabbos. Okay, so let me just briefly review, then we can ask, we're running short. We discussed like this. We discussed you can't wring out a garment on Shabbos, a washcloth. That's considered laundering the washcloth. We said you can't put any liquid on a garment on Shabbos. To take, if there's ketchup on the garment, you can't take a little baby wipe, and this, you can't go under the faucet, and then we said, even if you're not losing liquid, but it's something that you're shaking to get the dust out that fell out, that also you can't do on Shabbos. We said in the case of embarrassment, you could get a goy if there's no way out and you're embarrassed, you can get a goy to do it for you. Then we spoke about folding clothing on Shabbos, the different opinions. We said perhaps Bezman Hazeh, it's okay putting folding clothing away. The talus, perhaps there's a question whether that's considered hachana. We discussed that hachana means saving time. And if you do something that might be preparation for after Shabbos, but it's not, you didn't do it because of saving time, like the case of the person going to watch the milking, then that would not be a problem. And okay, the last thing is a shaila that comes up a lot. It's, since we've been talking about sochet on Shabbos, about, you know, taking fruit or something like that and squeezing it and that idea. So there's another question that comes up a lot for the young married couples is cholev b'Shabbos. To express milk from a woman on Shabbos is, or from an animal or, is prohibited as well. So a person is nursing, so to have the baby nursed directly, that's obviously that's okay, nursing on Shabbos. But to express milk on Shabbos, either manually or with an electric pump, so it was some. So the two reasons why people would need to do that, either because they're feeling pain or because they want to have it for after Shabbos. So whenever one expresses milk, so if the milk is discarded, then it's not a problem. So if there's a woman feels pain, she has to express milk manually, and she throws out the milk, and that's okay. To keep the milk is a problem. To keep the milk is a problem, because then you're using the thing that you took out, and that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So the question is, so a lot of times people need the milk. So if they train their child to use, like everybody said, to use baby formula, so you always have that option there. But some people, you know, are very, they have their shitas about things. So baby formula, they don't want baby formula, whatever. You can't argue with these people. So what are you going to do? So in a situation where, obviously, it's a safe situation of pikuach nefesh, then everything is permissible in pikuach nefesh. But in the case where the woman needs the milk and can't discard it, so there are two ways that it could be done. One way is to get a non-Jew, as we said before, to get a non-Jew to do it, to pump the milk, and that would be okay. Then you'd be able to use that milk if it's in need. Or for the woman to put it on her body and be able to let go. It's fastened with a nursing bra or something like that, so she can let go. And then there's a Shabbos clock that was already set in motion that will go on in a little bit, that's not going on now. So then Rav Gutman, Rav Bari, others, several poskim that say that would be permissible, since that's, according to some opinions, that's considered grumma, that you're not doing it a direct action now. And so it would be, again, she would have to fasten it on her body, she would have to let go, and then it's on a clock that will go on even in 2 minutes from now. And then that milk is not considered expressed directly, so that's considered indirect. And indirect, according to many, is still aser midrabanan, but in a situation where a baby needs that milk, that would be permissible. But if you're using a hand pump, then the only way to permit it to use the milk would be having a goy do it, or if it's a case of pikuach nefesh, where the child can't take any other milk and there's no other way, so then again, pikuach nefesh, you know, takes away all the halachas of Shabbos and Mokom pikuach nefesh. So that's the idea of cholev b'Shabbos. This is also, so just like this, so expressing milk is also a malacha of taking, it's like squeezing an orange, the same type of thing of getting a liquid out of the body is the same thing like squeezing an orange on Shabbos to make orange juice, which would be prohibited, and as I gave you the general rules just now. Yeah, so squeezing a lemon is usually not permissible. Could be if you put it, you squeeze it into another food, you know, from food to food, right? Into a food, but to squeeze a lemon into the tea would not be permissible. But into a food, So then it goes from one solid to another solid. So we're going to get absorbed in the other solid. That would be. So, okay. So these are some halachas of Hilcha Shabbos. You know, we just read the Aseres Hadibros, and I didn't hear you. Maybe later you'll ask me. Okay, so these are some, you know, we just read the Aseres Hadibros, so someone says, so Hilcha Shabbos is a vast, and certain things that are, you know, we all know we don't write on Shabbos, and we all know we don't turn on the lights on Shabbos, but not everyone knows that if you have ketchup on your garment, that you can't go to the sink and run the water on it. That not as many people know. So we try to inform everyone on certain important halachas of Shabbos.